The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to Hour 2. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm playing the role of Eric Metaxas. I apologize, but this is the best we could do today. I'm it. But I'm only the host, and I get to talk to interesting guests. For example, we have our friend Kevin McCullough on. Some of you know him as Votestradamus, but however you know him, here he is, Kevin. Kevin, welcome back.
Hey, Eric, good to see you. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
Oh, no, I had COVID. We didn't celebrate Thanksgiving.
Oh, then I...
We all had it.
I'm glad to see you back then.
We all had it. It was...
The upside of it now is that you are basically bulletproof. You don't need the vaccines. Now that you've had COVID, you're going to have 27 times the immunity of anybody that gets one, two, or three boosters, and you're ready to live. Like, go out. Oh,
listen, I was ready to live before. There's nothing wrong with getting sick. It happens to people. And
this is true.
Got sick. I got better. You know, praise the Lord. Now, listen, you present a challenge because I want to talk to you about current events, but I also want to talk to you about CSI. You're kind of a CSI expert. But let me just say before we talk about CSI, because we're doing a fundraiser on this program, people who've been listening know that we need your help. This is an amazing opportunity, just an amazing, amazing opportunity. We get to do tremendous good, unadulterated good in this world through CSI. But Kevin, can we talk about the oral arguments today? Can we talk about what's going on at the Supreme Court? What can we talk about?
Well, the Supreme Court is taking up a case that has the potential to completely undo Roe versus Wade. And if the arguments that at least took place this morning, if the comments by some of the justices aren't an indication of just how important this case is, you only need to hear, Justice Sotomayor talking about how this is going to set civil rights back and so forth. There's a lot of rhetoric that is being applied to this topic. And
hang on a second. I just want to be clear. That's what it is. It's rhetoric. So legally speaking, it's crap. It is crap.
That's why
it is offensive to me that you have Supreme Court justices who are spreading garbage. In other words, you can have any opinion you want, but it has nothing to do with the law. And that is where we are. I want people to understand that this is not about opinions. This is about what the law says. And so when you have no legal argument, it seems to me, you do things like this.
That's exactly right.
I find myself being really disgusted because I actually expect better from Supreme Court justices. They don't have to agree with me, but I expect them to actually behave like a Supreme Court justice. And when they spew rhetoric like this, it's really foul. I mean, it's just an amazing, it's in my book, it's like cheating. It's like somebody saying like, yeah, he hit a home run, but he cheated. He did something. Let's just play by the rules. The rules are the Constitution and the law. And if you have an argument and you can make an argument or you have questions relevant, great. If not, what are you there? You're a cheerleader. You're a politician. So I just want to be really clear because I think a lot of times people who are against abortion, like we are, they fall into the same trap. Folks, this is not about our opinions. This is about the law. And the law is something we need to take very seriously. I don't need to, if the Constitution says there's a right to abortion, I don't need to like it. But if the Constitution doesn't say there's a right to abortion, if there's nothing there, and you are somebody that likes the idea of abortion, you've got to find another way. You can't pretend that you can use the law.
And let's draw a very important clarification on what you just said, because for the last 30 years, basically since Roe v. Wade was first litigated, Democrats figured out, progressive leftists. Let me not say Democrats, because there have been conscientious pro-life Democrats over the years. There have been people that have had common sense that were Democratic leaning in terms of some of their votes. But in terms of the people that have really pushed the progressive liberal agenda, they discovered something with the Roe v. Wade case that they kind of began to implement. And really, the left has come to use it as the backstop. Republicans go around and conservatives go around and they try to get elected and they try to say, we're going to write legislation and we're going to get it signed and passed into law through the legislative process. And the president will sign it. It'll become law. And it may be tested by the courts, but it's going to be done that way. Democrats have known for a long time that most of their ideas are so insanely unpopular that there's no way they'd ever get a legislative quorum to be able to pass them. So what do? They simply have the courts make the adjudications that they want from the bench on different cases that challenge existing law. And they've used this method ever since Roe v. Wade kind of codified it and said, hey, look, you can get away with this. You can totally invent wholesale cloth of law that doesn't even exist because you get a judge to say that that's what it says.
Okay. So
that's a strategy.
The point,
yeah.
That's the point, is that for 50 years, we have been, and again, I want people to understand this. It doesn't matter what you think or what your opinions are, just to understand what the rules are. In America, we have three branches of government. The judicial branch, it is their job to determine whether something is in accordance with the Constitution. It's not their job to legislate. That's the job of the second part of our government, the legislative branch. But what you just said, Kevin, and this is what's so hard for many of us to really understand, is that we've gotten very sloppy and it's gotten very confused. And so what happened in 1973, when Supreme Court justices said that they believed that someplace in the Constitution there is a woman's right to abortion. But whatever you believe about abortion, the idea that they made a legal argument is a mess. There is no legal argument. You have to be logical. It's like math. And we're living in a world where things are so politicized that at the beginning of this, you said that Sotomayor says we're going to set civil rights back. I think to myself, what business is it of yours? You are a Supreme Court justice. Your job is to make clear what the law is.
Isn't it an interesting insight, Eric, on how the two sides view the role of the law? So Sotomayor subscribes to this idea that the law needs to bend and shift and change according to the timing and the place. Al Gore put it in his presidential campaign, you know, a living constitution, something that moves and has different boundaries at different times. Constitutionalists, conservatives, strict constructionists have always said, no, what the founders wrote was what they meant. And we need to fully understand and appreciate what the words mean and let the words be the guiding influence of the judgment in terms of what is legal and what is not legal in the days to come. So this is, and the reason this is so heated, and I'm just looking up another headline, because evidently Kavanaugh and Breyer clashed this morning. You're going to see this. You're going to see headlines coming out of this particular court case, unlike any Supreme Court case we've seen in recent times, because the stakes are so high. But let me clarify something about what this case means and doesn't mean. A lot of people walking around misinformed, even talking to television networks, are talking about how immediately abortion is going to be banned and no one's going to be able to get an abortion. And it's just going to go away overnight. And all the white male racists that are running this country will have succeeded in, you know, making the country in their own image. That is completely false. If Roe v. Wade falls through this court case tomorrow in New York, California, New Jersey, a handful of other states, you're going to have legal abortion until the cows come home. And it may never change in some of those states, because legislatively you've got a base of population there that have said over and over again, we want this to be legal. The problem with Roe is not that states can't have abortion if their population wants it. It's that ones who want to restrict it or try to even ban it altogether have been prevented from doing so, when that's the will of their population, their people that live there.
And that's, I mean, I said that in the first hour. I want to clarify just what Kevin said, that let's understand what we're dealing with here. Okay. If we go back to 1973 to pre-Roe v. Wade, in effect, abortion will still be gigantically legal in America. So whenever anybody says, oh, we're going back to the dark ages, whatever, it is complete nonsense, folks. At least be aware of the facts, no matter where you stand. We'll be right back. Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works. Folks, I'm talking to Kevin McCullough, and you can tell I have a cold. I'm cranky, so I'm not cracking a lot of jokes. But who cares? We're talking about substance. Now, Kevin, you and I were trying to clarify where things are, right? This is something that I always say. I want the people on my side to understand what's at stake. In other words, if somebody is against abortion, okay, nonetheless, we live in a free country where we have a way of doing business where we say the people get to decide certain things. So if people in the state of Mississippi, where the people in the state of New York have a view on something, they can enact it by electing people and they can put their views forward. Once in a while, there's controversy. And that's when you have to go to the Supreme Court and you have to say, hey, we in this state just voted to do X. Is that constitutional? So let's say a bunch of people in this state say, we think killing Jews is a good thing. So we're going to elect people that believe in that. Immediately, the Constitution would say, you can't do that. We don't care if everybody in your state is an anti-Semite bigot. According to the Constitution, you are going beyond what the Constitution allows for in a free state. So we have to be really clear on how these things work. And you were talking about a moment ago that Roe v. Wade, all it did was say that those people in certain states who want to restrict abortion can't restrict abortion.
Correct.
Which is it's just a crazy thing. But I mean, can you give us any details on this Mississippi case? Because I'm not aware of the details of how is it that this has the possibility of being the wedge that overturns Roe v. Wade?
Well, if you're challenging, so in Roe v. Wade, the central argument was we cannot know when personhood begins. They all but admitted that we know that life has begun, but we can't be confident that personhood or even survivability outside the womb begins by a certain date, XYZ, fill in the blank. Mississippi has actually, in their case, and in the Texas case that's coming to the court too, you've got, and I was just speaking with Inez Stepman from the Federalist on this earlier this morning. But what's interesting is you have 50 years of new science that has rolled into the discussion since 1973. And in 1973, we didn't know a lot of things about the development of an unborn child. We couldn't see how early the fingertips were there and when they opened their eyes the way we can now in full color photos, that most children see their siblings long before they're ever born. So you've got a number of things that we've discovered about survivability outside the womb, we continue to have people who have early births, and they're able to help those children who are born as preemies survive all the way to maturity. So there's a lot of question about what does that personhood element of the argument actually argue? And can we make that argument across the board and enforce this across all 50 states? Mississippi has said, we believe that we can determine by what our population wants and what our voters say, a level of where we believe life should begin and where it should be protected by law legally. Everybody else that's opposing abortion doesn't want even Mississippi, even one state, to be able to make such a ruling. Because if they do, then there's a domino effect. People go, well, wait a minute. If that's actually true, then it has consequences. And the point I was making before the break is abortion's not going to go away overnight. You're going to have a lot of states that still have it legal. But the pressure that the pro-abortion side is going to then be under for really the first time in the Roe era is going to be opposite foot of where it's been. It's been the legal pressure against the pro-life people saying, prove your point. Once we've been able to make an argument and a court has sustained it and said, yep, that made sense and science backed it, now it's going to get harder for the pro-aborts in New York and California to say, well, it's just a clump of cells. We should be able to take it out anytime we want to. No, if it's a life, it's a life. That's going to take a while to get.
That's why we have Kevin McCullough on this program, ladies and gentlemen, because I can rant and rave all I want, but we want facts. Kevin, you've just made it's kind of funny because I want to talk to you about CSI. We're doing a fundraiser for Christian Solidarity International. Mm-hmm. And there is, of course, a link between the idea of slavery and the idea of abortion. When I wrote my book, Amazing Grace, it's the story of a politician, William Wilberforce, working to help the entire British Empire, which, of course, was huge at that point, to say, this is immoral. We must abolish the slave trade. And what's interesting is that people who have read my book have been inspired because they say this is very similar to the abortion issue. It's a moral issue. It's not just a political issue. It's not a legal issue. It's a moral issue. And if we believe there is such a thing as morality, we have some kind of an obligation to deal with this in our laws. But what I find interesting in terms of the parallel there as well is that there are many people today who are anti-abortion. Okay. They're people, they agree with us, but they don't believe in what's called incrementalism. In other words, they have this kind of attitude that we don't care about anything except a law that says there can never be any kind of abortion.
Right, right.
What we're talking about now is incrementalism. In other words, it's this idea that we say, you know what? It is a positive step if we can get the Supreme Court of the United States to say that a state in the union has the right to determine this, even though it doesn't wipe out abortion across the board. Nonetheless, it's a step in the right direction, and it begins to undermine these things which need undermining. But there are people on our side of the abortion issue who don't agree with that, that they are really they're purists or fundamentalists on this issue. And they almost, do you know what I'm talking about?
But Eric, they're not. And let me just throw a huge spear right through the middle of their argument. They're going to say, we're not going to accept a partial solution to the long-term problem. That means then that they are actively saying we're okay with letting more children die than need die in the interim. And to me, that's a pro-abortion position to hold. If you're a purist and you're holding out and you're saying, I'm not going to give an inch until I get everything that I want,
right,
that means that until you get everything that you want, you're perfectly fine with leaving it where it is. And we've had people that have made that kind of fight in the past. And Eric, I've never thought from the beginning, even with the woman who was the primary plaintiff in Roe, I've never thought from the beginning that it is a good look for us to say, you have your baby and you like it too. Like, that's just not the approach. We can talk about the value of life. We can talk about the meaningfulness of that relationship to the mom and what the whole, you know, family dynamic means, what children mean to a society. There's lots of things that we can talk about, but usually through force, you're going to create greater enmity and bigger chasms between people.
Right.
What's been really effective, and why the last probably eight freshman classes in universities across America have been so overwhelmingly pro-life, is because science and technology began to allow us to see into the womb. And we began to see that some of those arguments were false, that this wasn't a clump of cells, that this is a human being, that it starts to develop and even can express a personality while still very early in the womb. It can smile and look like it's singing or playing or doing any number of things. A picture of a small child in the womb at that stage is so much more powerful than an argument that is being fought with pointed fingers and set jaws. And if we win hearts and minds and say, okay, let's at least say that after 20 weeks, it's not legal anymore. And then we fight for week 10 through 20. And then we fight for week 5 through 10. And then we fight till conception. But we still take ground. Eric, it's like a great land war. You don't just say, well, I'm not going to go to fight until I can win the entire mass. No, you take a beachhead, and then you take an interior position, and then you eventually try to push into the city.
But Kevin, you realize that there have always been people, not just on this issue, on many issues, they don't see it that way. And I think it's important that we have the larger philosophical conversation.
But they are logically dishonest, Eric. They are logically dishonest if they say that purism in this argument is the only way to go, because you're allowing children to die.
I agree with you. But what I'm trying to say is there are people who it's kind of the attitude. You find this among certain Christians. They just would be happy to see everything burn. They almost get a joy if everything goes to hell. It's like when people say, like, well, you know, we're heading toward the end times, and I want to say that I get that, but ultimately it's wrong. The question is, what is God's heart on an issue? Okay, when we come back, we'll unpack this. Folks, please don't forget, we need your help. Go to MetaxasTalk.com, click on the CSI banner. We'll talk more about that with Kevin. There is a real connection between slavery and the issue of abortion. We'll be right back. Hey, folks, Eric Metaxas here. Joe Biden and the Democrats have laid out the most socialist agenda our country has ever seen. Instead of following President Trump's blueprint that had the economy booming, the Dems are going to raise taxes, increase regulations, and skyrocket an already outrageous national debt. If your retirement is in traditional investments, it is in jeopardy. Americans should be diversifying their investments with gold and precious metals. Gold gives you control over your wealth and protects you from market volatility, inflation, and a weakening dollar. When investing in gold, I turn to Legacy Precious Metals. Legacy Precious Metals has over 40 years of experience in helping Americans protect their finances, and this team is prepared to patiently consider your own personal financial needs. If you're looking to invest in gold, call the good folks at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-473-6204 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Don't leave your retirement to chance, friends. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. That's 866-473-6204. Folks, talking to Kevin McCullough, we are talking about two things. We're talking about the issue of abortion, and we're talking about the issue of slavery. And Kevin, it just fascinates me how there's nothing new under the sun, right? You had people in Wilberforce's day who said, we think that you should keep your faith out of politics. In other words, they weren't able to comprehend the idea that there's no division between faith and politics. There's just this thing called truth, and we have to kind of work it out. And they acted as though that there are these separate realities. There are people today who feel the same way. They act as though there are no absolutes, and people should be able to do whatever they want to do. We have a constitution that is based on natural law, that's based on moral law. And so there are limits to freedom. So if everybody in a state says, you know, we believe we can do X, it has to be in accordance with some fundamentals. So this is the big argument with Roe v. Wade. Is there something about taking the life of a pre-born human that is guaranteed in our Constitution, or does our Constitution say nothing about it and the states have to fight it? It's a little bit complicated. So it's one thing to say, I think abortion is wrong. You do and I do. But then we have to think logically, okay, in the United States of America, where we are free to do all kinds of things that are wrong, okay? Men and women are free to sleep with each other outside of marriage. They're free. We're free to do all kinds of wrong things that we won't be prosecuted for, but that doesn't make them right. When does the law get involved? And we have always said in this country, when it comes to the unborn, this is a real thing. This is, we're dealing with human lives. But I was talking earlier about the slavery issue, and I want to talk to you about this. We're doing, I mean, it's hard for us to believe that 200 years ago, the West decided slavery is an abomination, it's wrong, and we got rid of it. So even when it still existed, there was nobody saying this is a great thing. But there are parts of the world today, like parts of Africa, where radical Muslims believe slavery is okay. And so it's people like us in the West who are using our money to work against that. We can't change the laws of the Sudan, or at least we didn't when we had the chance. If you don't mind, talk about CSI, because I want my audience to understand that these moral issues, they're right in front of us all the time.
Not at all. In fact, CSI is an enormous passion in my heart. During the Sudanese Civil War, there were approximately 180,000 individuals that were taken into captivity, into, in essence, chattel slavery, work labor, and removed from their homes in South Sudan and brought to Northern Sudan. A large number of these that survived were women, because the men were regularly killed for everything from insubordination to, attempted escape, et cetera. The women that have been suffering there, and when the world settled the Sudan Civil War, the world powers came in and said, okay, South Sudan, you have your Christian territory. Northern Sudan, you can remain in Arab hands. And now leave each other alone, and we go off and, you know, we took care of that. The problem was that the slaves that had been taken captive were not addressed. And so even though there was great relief that the fighting was over, there were still all of these hundreds of thousands of people that were caught in this horrific system of brutal, brutal slavery. CSI, before the war was ended, had already begun working to liberate slaves that were captured by the Arabs of the North. And let's be very clear, the main reason that the Arabs took these women were because they were Christian, and they thought that they could do with as they wanted. They could have sexual means with them. They could have them bear children. They could use them as forced labor. They were cheap labor to use around the places where they lived, oftentimes as servants for their own wives, etc. Brutal, brutal treatment. And I could tell you story after story of slaves that have told us what it was like when they went into slavery. But I will say this, over the last number of years, CSI, working together with people like Eric Metaxas and your listeners, have been able to liberate more than 100,000 of those original slaves and some of the children that were born to them in the process. In fact, we believe that there are now only 35,000, give or take a few, in Northern Sudan anymore. And from 180,000, that is a great number of people that have been liberated. However, for the 35,000 that are still there, it is a daily hell that they live through. I could tell you a story. In fact, on my phone here, I was recently praying. My listeners are involved in this project too, Eric, as you know, and I got word from the CSI office that, and I know people listening on the radio can't see this, but this is a woman, for those of you watching on Lindell TV and everywhere else, this is a woman who was liberated by my listeners in July of this last summer. And Eric, describe the look on her face right there.
Tell me. Radiant.
And this is a woman that experienced ritualistic, brutal sexual abuse for over 15 years. She's only in her early 30s. And that smile that's on her face, it's almost a miracle that it could exist, because when you know what she has been through. But the reason that she's smiling is because the slave liberators were able to find her. They were able to secure her freedom. She was taken back to South Sudan, where her home is from. She was able to reunite with relatives. They were able to give her a package of things that are basically a starter pack for her life. It's called the Bag of Hope. And they did all of that for $250.
Okay. Now, I want to come back with you. I know you just got a couple of minutes.
Has a brand new life.
I know you, Kevin, just has a couple of minutes. Folks, this is really huge. Please go to MetaxasTalk.com. Do what you can. We'll be right back.
Hey, rain and snow on everyone. So many things I could have done. The clouds got in my way.
Hey folks, all you out there know that MyPillow doesn't have box stores or any shopping channels. They've been part of this canceled culture and they want to pass the savings on directly to you so you can get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for the classic standard MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with promo code ERIC. They also have queen size, regularly $79.98, now $24.98 with promo code ERIC, or king size, regularly $89.98, only $29.98 with promo code ERIC. MyPillow is not just pillows. They've got over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers and dog beds, you name it. My promo code ERIC also works on mystore.com. You can get my books and frankspeech.com. Go to mypillow.com or call 1-800-978-3057. Use promo code ERIC to take advantage of Mike's special offer on his standard MyPillow. That's mypillow.com, promo code ERIC, or 1-800-978-3057.
Folks, welcome back. We're talking to our friend Kevin McCullough. Kevin, it is just hard. Every time we do a campaign with CSI, it's hard for me to wrap my head around the idea that this evil still exists in this world. It's like we were talking about the abortion issue. It is hard to imagine that there are people that are okay with taking the life of the unborn. It's hard to believe that there are people who are okay with enslaving someone and raping them continually. We live in a sick world. But the good news, and I always want to try to help people find the hope in the middle of this. Folks, the amazing thing is that we can do something about it. I mean, honestly, think of the idea. It's one thing to hear something is happening, horrible. And then somebody says to you, yes, it's happening, but you can do something about it. We have the opportunity through CSI, and Kevin, you know more about CSI than I ever will. I mean, they are an amazing organization. They are on the ground. They know how to free people from slavery. All they need is for us to help them. They need money. So for $250 per person, tell my audience what they're able to do. I say to my audience, if you don't know what to give your grandparent or your dad or your uncle for Christmas, how about saying, in your name, we freed a person from slavery. I just can't get over what a great idea that is. Go ahead.
And think about this, Eric. These are all Christians that have been forced to take on Muslim identities. So to work with your audience to be free by Christmas this year, just think of what celebrating the birth of Christ as a newly freed Christian from slavery will mean. And it will not take forever and a day to make this happen. Once your gift is given, there are constant liberation retrievals that are going on. And when these things take place, they are truly amazing. But I want to go back to Alouette's story, because she's the girl I was telling you about in the last segment. She has that huge smile on her face. She was ritualistically sexually abused, not just by her slave master, but by her slave master's sons. She was physically abused by the wife of the slave master for jealousy that he would want to sleep with the slave. She was called every kind of heinous name that you can imagine in the book and treated as though she was less than an animal. So she wasn't fed on a regular basis. She had to fight for scraps that were on the floor and the ground. Imagine living in that existence for more than a dozen years and then being taken by the CSI retriever to the recovery camp at the border of South Sudan, where for nothing but a few days, you just get to recover. They have a medical doctor. They've got psychological experts that are there helping you talk this through and kind of deal with some of the issues that it raises. You get to reclaim your identity as a Christian. You get to reclaim your Christian name. You get to tell someone the hardship of your story, and someone listens to you and believes you and documents it so that it is not forgotten. And then at the end of that process, that recovery process, they bring you this thing called the bag of hope, which is much bigger than just a bag. It's not like a little grocery sack. This thing is like a canvas grain sack, and that's just the tools that are in it. But it's gardening tools, it's cooking utensils, it's materials to keep you safe from the weather, etc. In addition to that, you get a bag of sorghum grain that's going to feed you for the next year. They'll make that last a full year. You'll get a bag of seed that you can plant when you get relocated to your home to grow the next season's food. And on top of all of that, you get a little she-goat that is very young in life and has the potential to, to bear kids of their own and to create milk and cheese for you and to create a micro enterprise and kind of a sense of rediscovery. Eric, you go literally from the grave of death into this hallway of life, and there's no comparison. And so when they realize, and it takes sometimes days for some of these women to understand, I'm not going to be someone's property anymore. But when they do, that smile comes on so many of their faces, and they get to worship Jesus Christ in freedom and without intimidation and without fear of being found out by their slave master. Then there's one more step to the process. They're taken from the recovery camp with all of their bag of hope, and they're relocated as close as they can to their original place where they were from, if they have relatives, a town, a region, wherever. And the church in that town goes crazy. They throw a party. You think of the prodigal son and what the dad does when he returns, and the older son is jealous because they go so lavish for the return of the son. That pales in comparison to what these places do when these slaves come home. There are so many biblical kind of analogies to this, Eric. It's deep in symbolism and understanding of what's happening here. But for $250, your listener can change one person's life, taking them from the grave of death to the hallway of life. I mean, I just don't know of anything else. This is why my family has said this year we're going to free a slave every single month. So we had to put ourselves on a budget to do this, but we have tried to diligently do that. It's why I talk about CSI everywhere I go to anyone who will listen, because I've never seen a work do as much good as what they're doing.
Well, this is why. I mean, there are many good organizations out there, and we've worked with a number of them. But I have to tell you, folks, it's almost impossible for us to believe that we can have that kind of impact. So this is why I want to say to you, in times of relative hopelessness, there's brokenness all around, the world is going crazy, God is real. And he gives us these opportunities at certain times to do something that is an unmitigated good. It is a beautiful thing. If it weren't for CSI, folks, what would you or I be able to do about something like this? You read about it in the paper, you read about it online, your heart breaks and you walk away. You can pray. But the point is that there are people whose lives are literally being changed as dramatically as it gets. We can't even imagine in a world where we're all free that there are people whose lives can be changed forever. So Kevin and I, we get on this because I think like we ourselves need hope. You look around and you think, what can I do? When you know that no matter what you give, it doesn't have to be $250. $250 is the magic amount that it takes to free one person. But I'm saying whatever you can give, $25, $50, $100, think of what you could do this Christmas. Think of the junk you could buy that you're never going to use. We all know because we've all done it. And most of it's made in China. Folks, this is an opportunity to change lives forever. I want to ask you from the bottom of my heart, please go to MetaxasTalk.com, click on the banner, give what you can. My friend Kevin, I'm just so grateful to you for being a part of this and for making this come alive for my audience. We'll be right back. Kevin, thank you.
Thank you.
Baby, I'll do it for you. Our love is alive.
So it begins.
Wow.
Ooh. Wow.
What's going on?
Yeah, man.
Can you guys see behind me? That's Mike Lindell. That's not really Mike Lindell.
It's no, a he's behind me. That's the real Mike Lindell behind me.
It's since we've been knocked off of YouTube, nobody can see us anyway. Yeah. TV every day.
Hey, Eric, I was just going to mention something. I was sorry to cut you off. In the last segment, you mentioned we're living in dark times. I took my kid to the Macy's Meet Santa thing here in the city, Herald Square. I didn't read the fine print, but apparently it's sponsored by Pfizer this year. And the Santa at the end, he vaccinated my child against his will. It was very surprising. Pulled out a shot.
Wow. That's pretty dark stuff.
Instead of a lollipop, right? He gets a vaccine.
So
boom,
just make sure to avoid any Pfizer Meet Santa events in your town near you, because
you know, by the way, that somebody stole my great idea. You know the Johnny Pape check song? You can take this job and shove it. I ain't a working here no more. You know that song.
Sure.
I came up with the idea of you can take this jab and shove it. Somebody actually recorded that song.
That's great.
Well, you know,
don't
sometimes
sound too excited.
The good ideas are out there in the ether, you know. It's just
But it just kind of cracked me up because I thought, you know, it's okay. Listen,
the comedy's on our side of the aisle. You know, the conservatives are out there.
Correct.
Fun.
Okay, let me just say this before we run out of time here, folks. To sum up, we're going through dark times, but I believe that God wants us to do good things in the midst of the darkness, light a candle instead of cursing the darkness. We every year do a fundraiser with CSI. There are people being enslaved in the Sudan, people who have been enslaved. I'm going to go into the details. Kevin McCullough and I will get into the details in the next hour, but we can do something about it. And I keep thinking, when you think of somebody that you think, what do I get them for Christmas? For $250. Now, by the way, we want to encourage everybody to give something. But for $250, if that's a number that you can give, you can free a slave. And you don't just free a slave. You are actually setting them up in a life. They get a goat. They get foodstuffs. They get all kinds of stuff so that they can have a life once they are redeemed from slavery. So this is a huge thing. You can do it in somebody's name. And I want to encourage you, folks, when I think of all the junk that we waste our money on, this is something really beautiful. It's just hard to believe that we have the privilege in our lifetimes of participating in something like this. So if you want to give somebody an amazing gift, go to metaxastalk.com, click on the banner. Whatever you give is fantastic. But if you can give $250, that enables CSI to get someone out of literal slavery and set them up in a wonderful life. It's an amazing thing. And I think that, as I say, we always ask, what can I do? What can I do? Any positive thing like this is spiritual warfare. That you are waging war against the evil in this world when you do something beautiful. Out of the goodness of your heart, do that. I also want to say, while supplies last, Albin, there are two.
Yes.
I have two hats given to me by President Donald Trump. They're the, you know, the standard Make America Great Again hats. They were given to me by the president. So I didn't buy these. They were given to me when I was with him and Sean Foyt some months ago. He also gave me the pen that he used to sign the other hats. Anybody who can give $2,500 that frees 10 slaves. If you can do that, I will sign one of these hats to you. There are only two of them. So obviously the first two people who do this, but go to metaxastalk.com, email us if you need more information. This is important stuff, very important stuff. I want to encourage everybody, please get involved in this, get your kids involved in this. Go to metaxastalk.com. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.